Jeannie and Karen? Where are they?
They're out. Jeannie's husband failed.
Oh, no.
I don't know where Caitlin's at.
Well, good morning out there, family of God. This is the day that the Lord has made, and this is the day that anything is possible, for we serve a God of the impossible. Whatever you're facing, whatever you're going through, whatever situation, He is more than enough, my friend. If today you need prayer, you need anything whatsoever, just somebody connect with you in faith and believe God for your miracle and believe God for your deliverance or breakthrough. Whatever it is, we want to be there for you today. 270-257-2689 is the number to call the station. Or you can text me at 270-230-6337. Good morning to Highsville, Glasgow, 91.1. To Litchfield, Hardinsburg, 91.5. And then, of course, to Owensboro, Kentucky, 98.3. And then listening, welcome into our app listeners this morning as well. We love you guys. We are excited for yet another day here on Mornings of Box 2 Radio on the Box 2 Radio Network. And we are getting ready to jump right into the waters and start, I don't know, wading, waddling, backstroking. Well, I don't know what we're doing today yet to the glory of God, but something's going to happen. So we'll start over here. Miss Hannah, how are you doing this morning?
I'm doing great, still full of gratitude and looking forward to what the Lord has in store. Sometimes I feel like what you just said is like life in the kingdom. You don't know what you're doing today. You just know you're in it.
That's right.
If you're in it, you're good. We might not know our instructions yet,
yep.
But at least if we're in the water, then that's the right place to be.
Yep. Amen. Miss Crystal, how are you doing this morning?
I'm doing well. I'm loving this weather. Mm. My phone says it's 50 degrees outside. The only thing that means is that winter is coming. So we have to enjoy each season, each day, I know. But it's almost like I can't enjoy the cool weather because I know what that means. Winter's coming.
I'm with you. I would rather, like, as much as I don't like the hot, I would take the summer over winter.
Any day. Yeah. Now, I love spring and fall, of course. We all love those seasons. But if I had to pick one, I would definitely go with 100 degrees. I guess it's because I'm used to it, being from Louisiana. This is nothing around here because you don't have, well, we did have humidity pretty good this summer. I mean, usually we don't have a lot of humidity, but wow, it was felt like I was in Louisiana this summer.
You all both have glasses. You know, you walk outside and your glasses immediately fog up. Right. That's how you know.
Where what?
One, I was going to try to invent little windshield wipers for your glasses.
You could get rich doing that. What an invention.
I was like, why hasn't somebody invented that yet?
Yep. There is an old movie. I do not suggest it. It was back before Christ for me. But Steve Martin's the jerk, and he does something like that. But it causes people to go cross-eyed.
Uh-oh.
Something in the middle of the – I can't remember what it was. But, yeah, he invented something that went south, and he got sued.
Uh-oh.
Do you ever, like – it still weirds me out a little bit whenever – Heather's had a pair like it. The glasses that change the sunglasses, and then back when you go inside,
right.
It's like, whoa, what happened to your face? Whoa, your glasses are different now again.
Mine are readers. I've asked the doctor, can I get regular to wear them just all the time? But she says you just don't need them, and so I have to wear readers. But it's the taking on, putting back on, taking off. You know, so anyway.
Yeah. If you were to put on my glasses, you would think, that's not even like a prescription.
Right.
Because I don't have bad eyesight, but he gave it to me for astigmatism. And I just wear them because he says you will feel less exhausted with your eyes by the end of the day. So that's what I do. And I do. It's true.
Yeah.
I can see just fine without them, but I can tell a fatigue issue, like, you know, like, ooh.
They hurt.
Yeah.
And or so. Sore. Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, now that we've diagnosed ourselves.
We've shared all of our vision.
We solved the world problems.
Nobody wants to look through my glasses, I'll tell you that right now. You'll look like you've been intoxicated.
Sight to the blind. No, you're not blind in Jesus' name.
Well, you know, tonight's the night for fair. So we're starting the fair tonight. We'll be there. Excited for that. Come see us. Come see us there at the Grayson County Fair. We're excited to be a part of it and have a booth out there. At the fair. There and fair kind of rhymes, don't it?
Yeah,
and so I know Ivy woke up this morning and said, I just want to go cloud school. I want to go to cloud school. She wants to go school cloud so bad. She don't like school a ton. And when I pick her up in the afternoon, says, "How'd your day?" She goes, "I just miss mommy and daddy."
Oh.
And she goes, "Can I please go count school?" And this morning she woke up and she goes, "But what about the fair? Like, do I get to go to the fair?"
Poor thing. Then right away they think it's prison or something they're getting sent to.
I mean, she wakes up every morning and cries. Like, just because she's like, I want to go to clown school. And so.
Last I heard, I don't think Brett, I think Brett's enjoying it again. He really enjoyed it the first week.
Went through
a cry stage. And then I think she said the other day, I don't know if it's continued, but he did really good. And if you ask him, he loves school.
Yeah.
He sings God Bless America. It is so funny.
They were telling me that. They said he's at the table just coloring something, singing God Bless America.
He was doing it at our house, and Todd walked in. I said, "Todd, listen, you know, Todd was in the military." So, so he starts singing it, because I said, "Sing it again, Brett." And so he's singing it with me. That's the only way he'd do it. Todd starts doing some kind of military walk that they were doing, all that, and he just stared like, "You're nuts." I mean, it was just like,
they didn't teach me that.
Yeah, you messed up my whole song. He didn't. And so we were both marching with it. You know, oh my gosh, he didn't like that. He's like, "Leave my song alone."
He's like, "Hey, it's about me, guys. This is about me.
Let me just sing to you. I don't need your dance." Well, you know, Todd did dancing.
Yeah, last night he was the, between games, I brought him out. He was dancing, doing that little move on the side. I said, "Come here, dance with me." And then, of course, he was the hit of the show.
Oh,
and everybody was
loving him. I got a little
piece
of the video. I mean,
I missed it.
Yeah, yeah. He was getting down with himself out there.
Yeah.
But congratulations to the Lady
Flames,
yes,
too.
Yes, that was so awesome.
Had their first win last night.
Yes, they did.
Awesome.
Yeah. They played great and hung in there and played as a team. And
JV was doing good, too.
Yeah.
Yeah. They've really come together this year.
They really stepped up.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So congratulations again to the Lady Flames for their first win. And then don't forget tonight, come see us at the fair if you're going to be there. We'd love to chat with you, pray with you, support you in any ways that we possibly can. Then Ducking Hunger Regatta is coming right around the corner. Can you still buy ducks? I think you probably can.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think you can buy ducks up until the until they're sold out. Even to the event, but I think the only thing that runs out of time is when you want to be a business sponsor.
I got you.
Yeah.
Well, again, that is Labor Day, so going to a great cause there for the food pantry there in Grayson County with Miss Debbie Childress. So,
and if you go to our app, if you're listening and you're a regular user of our app, just click on it and it'll take you right to the right place. If you're
to buy a duck,
yeah.
I need to buy a bunch of ducks. Actually, it was I went to a fundraiser not too long ago, and I got a free haircut. And the place I went to get my free haircut from, I sat down, and she was cutting my hair. And she said something about buying ducks on the square. And I said, "Oh, yeah, like the food pantry." She goes, "Yeah." She goes, "I actually won it last year." And so she was the one that was cutting my hair was the one that won the duck competition last year.
I'm trying to read as fast as you're talking. What exactly is it? I've heard y'all say it before, but I never heard the actual.
Grayson County Alliance does. They go to the Aquatic Center and put a bunch of ducks in the, what is it called?
The Lazy River.
Lazy River, and it's a duck race. And so you can sponsor a duck for $5, and then you do get a prize if you win. But it all supports the Grayson County Food Bank and the.
Okay. And what Miss Debbie does, you know, they give the meals to people each month, and they can turn, now I got to say it right, M-E-A-L, meal, they turn the $5 into 40 meals somehow.
Wow, that's awesome.
So,
yeah. I need to figure out that.
That's a lot of money.
And, yeah, it's awesome.
Yeah.
And then I think they also sometimes team up with Meals on the Bus.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Which that program is awesome, too.
It is. I've taken Brett several times.
It's so nice and now, you know, they have it open for everybody. There's no requirements. But at first, you know, I have volunteered and helped with it one time in high school. I was trying to get my volunteer hours for a scholarship. And I was just so blessed.
Oh, yeah.
You know, there was even one little girl in Caneyville. We went out and, I mean, y'all, I've never been in these roads in Caneyville. This was like, you know, we're country people, but this was like, I was a little bit scared on this road. I was like, are we going to fit on this road? But anyway, we got on there, and it was this little girl's birthday, and it's during the summer, you know.
Yeah.
It was her birthday, and they brought her a cake, a little cake for her birthday, because she was one that they, you know, a regular.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just the sweetest thing ever.
And some of the food is, hey, it's, you know, pretty good. Mm-hmm. I mean, of course, Brett didn't eat his chicken sandwich, so I took a bite of it. I promise I didn't eat the whole thing. I just took a bite. And it was not bad at all. It was pretty good food.
Yeah.
You know? But if you all, sometimes it's easier to see when, say, you're like on Facebook or something and they have a link and it's kind of, normally mm-hmm. it's highlighted blue or something right. and it's easy to see. But on our app, right where it has that link, HTTP, you know, the hyperlink, you just click on it. Even though it's not highlighted, it'll still right. take you to yeah. the right spot. So
yeah. it's a great cause. So it's just $5 a duck and it does help a lot of hungry people in Grayson County. So
yeah,
and it's a fun event. Kent Christmas will also be there at Potter's Hope. Not this Saturday, Wednesday night, but the following Wednesday night at 6:33. And then don't forget.
He's like a prophetic mm-hmm. speaker, yeah. right?
Yes. Right. Yep, yep. And don't forget also the tent revival going on there in McDaniels this week. I think it goes all the way through the weekend. So a lot of great things happening.
Don't wait till Friday to hear Brother Zachary. Go visit him at the tent because he'll be here with us on Friday.
I've passed it several times, and I keep saying it, but we've had something almost every yeah. night.
Every night. And then this is fair
yeah,
night.
And then there's volleyball again tonight. We have another game tonight. Come out and support
yep.
the team up here at Bethel Christian Academy. 5:30.
5:30.
Well, it must be good because Kaylee ditched us at Young Adult Group. To get on. She ditched us for the tent, no.
So, yeah, I was asking Brother Tim, and he said, yeah, it's really good.
Yeah.
But the volleyball team will be playing Oak Ridge tonight.
Oh, that's a big
oh,
one.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
And this is one's home, too.
Yes. And Oak Ridge is, even though our girls are good, too. I mean, Oak Ridge is pretty good.
Yeah. Well, it's funny because everybody's like, ooh, Oak Ridge, the rival. Like, they're the rivals, yeah. our rivals or whatever. But everybody's so always so nice to
oh,
each other.
Oh, and they all get along well. I mean,
yeah.
Rachel, it's not yep. always been that way.
Well, Rachel, our daughter, used to be really good friends with one of the girls on Oak Ridge, uh-huh. you know.
Well, but what I noticed is there are, like, our kids here are friends. Like, I've met several of the kids from Oak Ridge because they've oh, yeah. made friends
we
with
just
them.
Joke around, but yeah. everybody is really
but,
close.
Hey, it's serious business, though.
When they're playing.
On the court, yeah. it all, basketball or volleyball, it's all, yeah. yeah.
All
basketball,
friendships.
I think it's worse than, yeah.
All friendships
yeah,
are.
Exactly. What do you call it?
They're broken when you're on the court.
They don't count. It's like, I don't know yeah. who you are.
all unity of love and the bond of love. Is unfortunately broken
when during that 45 minutes to an hour, yes. But then it all comes
and then you
again.
Make up, right?
Right.
Yeah. Then reconciliation happens. Right. Revival, you know, weaves everybody's hearts back together, and we're all good. We are in Mark chapter 14, verse 12. On verse 12, I think is where we find ourselves, and we're mm-hmm. on the first day.
The unleavened bread.
Yeah, of unleavened bread. When they sacrificed the Passover lamb, his disciples said, "Where will you go have us to go?" I feel like did we not talk about this? No, we haven't.
I don't think so.
It was similar to what we've already done. Okay.
Yeah, because we've just finished talking about yeah. the breaking the alabaster jar.
Yeah. And of course, remember, you know, of course, the unleavened bread and this Passover was two different feasts. They get merged into one because of proximity to each other, but they are two significantly different. Passover is the lamb being slaughtered and the blood of the lamb being applied over the doorpost and the passing over of the death angel and the passing over of judgment, whereas the unleavened bread is about getting sin out of your house, and you're supposed to get the leaven out. You're supposed to get that taken care of, and this is what Jesus would have been doing when he would drove out the temple. This is what Jesus was doing whenever he went against their authority and all these kind of things. He's getting the sin, he purging it out of his father's house.
So this is like the order of it, like the Passover.
Passover's first, and then unleavened.
Mm-hmm. It's yeah. laying it out for us.
And then it'd be the first fruits, and then going into Pentecost. So those are the fall feast, right? I mean, the spring feast. And where will you have us to go and prepare you to eat the Passover? And he sent two of his disciples and said to them, "Go into the city and find a man carrying a jar of water will meet you. Follow him. And wherever he enters, say to the master of the house, 'The teacher says, where is my guest room where I may eat the Passover with my disciples?'" And I love that. Like, he's like, hey, find a man and go incognito and follow him. Like,
I don't know why I always just like ignored this part yeah. of scripture. Not really ignored it, but I just forget about it. Mm-hmm. Like, it's never been something that I thought much on. I just kind of skimmed past it, I guess, a lot.
Yeah.
But in a TV show, it added this part in the leading up to the crucifixion, and I was like, I'm gonna have to go back and read that. Read that. And then it was there.
Yeah. He did that often, though. I think it's like, I think the Father would reveal stuff in prayer.
Mm-hmm.
And even similar to the donkey. Like, hey, you're going to go up and just take that donkey. I just can't take a donkey, Lord. He said, yeah, it's mine. It's okay. he said, take the donkey. And the, he said, when somebody says something, you just say, the master has need of it. And okay.
Here, take it.
Have a great day. and I
he
think
he prepares the other
person. Well, I think that's the Father working here. And he says, I do nothing I don't see my Father first do and tell me. And I think this is just the Father preparing all of this in his perfect plan and preparing hearts to be activated to serve the will of the Lord right here. He will show you a large upper room, furnished and ready, there prepare a place for us. And the disciples set out and went to the city and found it just as he had told them, and they prepared the Passover. And when it was evening, he came with the 12, and as they were reclining at the table and eating, Jesus said, truly I say to you, one of you will betray me, one who is eating with me here. And they began to be sorrowful and say to one another, is it I? And he said to them, it is one of the 12, one who is dipping bread into the dish with me. For the Son of Man goes as it is written of him, but woe to that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would have been better for that man if he had not been born.
Wow.
Strong language.
Mm-hmm.
Strong language. And this is one of those things, like, you could unpack several different things here. And for me, Judas is in a lot of trouble. like, we very much consensus on that. But think of the internal fortitude of Jesus here. I don't even know how to say it. Like, I'm trying to stretch for vocabulary what would be the right to say, but he knows somebody's going to betray him.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And yet he's serving them. And he's letting them dip their bread. Now, that doesn't mean condoning. That doesn't mean, like, some people want to say, well, the fact that Judas dipped, especially in more modern-day progressive ideology, is like the fact that Judas dipped meant he was part of it. He was partaken of it. So he's okay. I don't think Jesus would have said it would have been better for him never been born if Judas was okay. Like, you know, and we even sing that song, and, you know, there's all these, like, Jesus loved Judas too. Absolutely, Jesus loved Judas. But does it mean that Judas was okay?
Mm-hmm.
Like, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us because he loved us. That doesn't make us a saint. We must be born again. And yes, the Lord loves us, and God is love, but just the fact that the Lord loves us doesn't save us. Does mm-hmm. that make sense? Like, and I think sometimes that's what we equate Judas to. Like, Judas is okay because Jesus loved him. Absolutely, Jesus loved him. Jesus loved sinners so much that he died for them. Doesn't mean that the sinner is a saint, because a sinner becomes a saint when they are born again, and Jesus blood is atonement is applied to their life, and he has become their redeemer.
Yeah.
And I think that's one thing we get kind of like gray-ish on in modern day text, because we say, well, the Lord loves me, so I'm okay. Absolutely, the Lord loves
yes.
you, but you must be born again.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, Judas got to eat with the rest. Doesn't mean Judas is okay, though.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense? I don't know if that makes sense.
Well, in Matthew, I was just doing the cross-reference to it. It says, you know, in Mark, it doesn't say that Judas knew, but in Matthew it does.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Matthew, it says, the Son of Man will go just as it's written about him, but woe to that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would have been better for that man if he had not been born. Then Judas, his betrayer, replied, surely not I, Rabbi. And he told him, you have said it. So Jesus tells him, you just spoke it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so at that time Judas knew. I mean, so, because, you know, in Mark you could say, well, maybe Judas was just eating and didn't pay attention or something, but
mm-hmm.
in Matthew it literally says,
yep.
you just said it out of your own mouth. You know, what's in your heart is coming out, because he's like, surely not I, Lord. You know, but he says, you have said it.
Absolutely.
You know, you've confirmed it. I know what's in your heart. You know, mm-hmm. last week we were talking about Jesus knows ahead of time, and he asked he's always asking questions, And the revelation comes out of a person's heart of what's really there. And he goes, surely not I, Lord. You know, and he's like, you just said it. You have said it. Mm-hmm. So anyway.
No, it's good because me and Ethan's done that for 2 years now in the play. I mean, it's we say those words, you know. Yeah. Ethan will go, is it I, Lord? As you have said, what you must do, go do quickly.
Right, exactly.
And then it is, and I think Judas, we know without a fact that Judas already knew it was him because he had already talked to the Pharisees and Sadducees, mm-hmm. Scribes just a minute ago. Like, because they were so glad when Judas Iscariot in verse 10, you know, went to the chief priest in order to betray him. So,
yeah.
Jesus had actually already been, in theory, the plan has been already made to betray him.
Mm-hmm.
So the plan's already there. And then the arrest and the official manifestation of that betrayal is getting ready to happen. And Jesus is well aware of it. Like, the other ones aren't. Because the other ones are like, is it I? Is it, you know? And I think, man, that exposes some real stuff in their own hearts, too. Like, for me, I heard one preacher yesterday when I was working out, I was listening to a sermon, and he was talking about John, and he says, we call John the super saint, but John was just like us in a lot of ways.
Mm-hmm.
And he was talking about some of the issues that John had in his life in the scripture.
Right.
And he was talking about, like, you know, we've talked about this briefly too, the ambition. Like, we've talked about Salome, his mom, who is Mary's sister. And again, none of us really put it together that John the apostle was also Jesus's first cousin. Like, we never put that together until we started studying one day on John. And John had ambition. Like, John wanted to sit at the right hand. John, mm-hmm. he wanted it. Like, he had this ambition about him. And then Peter really was struggling with stuff at times. And then who knows what some of these other ones. And I think that's one thing the show that I'm still in a love-hate relationship with. That's all I can say. I'm still in a love-hate relationship with it. That's one thing I do think they do well is these disciples are still growing, mm-hmm. and they're still struggling.
Mm-hmm.
And here I think it even exposes it more because Judas knew that he was going to betray him, but the other ones had to check their own hearts.
Right.
Is it I?
What do you think about in John? Because Judas did know, mm-hmm. Judas was being mm-hmm. tempted. But in John, just again cross-referencing, John 13, verse 27, it says, after Judas ate the piece of bread, Satan entered him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I don't know if was he tempted at that point before, and then once he ate the bread, and then he says, therefore Jesus told him, what you're doing, do it quickly.
Yeah.
Again, Jesus knew he was going to do it, but it makes you wonder why John says Satan entered him after he ate the bread.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We think he was already, Satan had already messed him up by going and getting, you know, meeting with the Pharisees and all. But here it says, after he ate the bread, Satan entered him.
Yeah.
So it makes you wonder, was it a temptation and he could have walked away from it? But then once he did that, it was pretty much.
That does bring up a good point and a good example of following through with sin.
Right. Right.
Because, like, we can get so close to sin,
mm-hmm.
and because if you really think about it, I mean, him meeting with the scribes and them, that wasn't the final execution of his sin, because
right.
he had to lead them. Like, if he would have
right.
just if he would have repented after that, he wouldn't have had
right.
to lead them to Jesus.
And
so that's
a
good
and
point.
And it was part of God's plan. We know, I mean, we know it had to
yeah.
happen this way, but it's just funny that
it's
John, the way he says, after he ate the bread, then Satan entered him. We
yeah.
always think, well, he was, you know, never really with Jesus to begin with. And I think probably he was to a point. I don't know. Nobody knows that, I don't think, because we don't know his heart. But once he dipped with Jesus and he ate the bread, then Satan entered him.
And do you think, too, like, this is all symbolic, or not just symbolic, because we see what it says in Corinthians about mistaking the Lord's Supper,
mm-hmm.
what happens to
That's
you.
Good.
But do you think that there's a deeper revelation there of, like, the moment that he is dipping, the moment that he's
Christ,
partaking
yeah.
of Christ, but he's actually rejecting him, that is the thing that destroys him, because
mm-hmm.
that's the very moment that Satan
right.
enters him.
Yeah.
That's good.
I think there's something to unpack there, and I'm not for sure. I'm I think it's right on the mark. I just don't know the exact fullness of the extent of it, because right. this same thing happened with Ananias.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Whenever Ananias and Sapphira, they were going to withhold certain part of the money and lie to the apostles and say they gave it all, but right. not. And in verse 5, he says, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie?
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's that feeling of the
right.
heart
right.
of Satan.
And I wouldn't think it was like possession or anything, but it's like at that moment it drops from your head to your heart and you've grabbed hold of it, you know?
Yeah.
That's what I was, and I feel like I wanted to go deeper with that Sunday morning, because I think your mind is supposed to be the protector of
yes.
your heart.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And once you get it past the fortress of your mind, it drops to
yeah.
your heart.
Yeah.
And that's like what is happening. Like,
if you cast it while it's still in your mind, it's mm-hmm. good. But once it gets in your heart, then you have to deal with a stronghold. And
yeah.
then you have to deal with so many more issues of casting that thing down, you know. So,
mm-hmm.
And it makes you wonder, like I said, we know the divine plan of God was for Judas to betray him and he had to be crucified. We know that. But our minds like to think, well, I wonder if,
mm-hmm.
you know, at one point he would have said, oh, I'm not going to do that. God, forgive me. And he bows down and he asks the Lord forgiveness. What would have happened? You know, but we can't go there, because we know that he was designated to do this. You know, it was God's hand on it.
Yeah.
You know.
But I think there is a good point in that. Like, we were even trying to talk about, like, just because a thought enters your head doesn't mean it's your thought.
Right.
You got to cast it out.
Right.
Like, just throw the thought out. Like,
right.
don't even get it in there.
Take it captive.
Like,
that's
if
right.
you start to feel stimulated to be angry,
mm-hmm.
just reject it. Like,
right.
it don't have to be yours.
Like,
right.
Judas could have rejected all this,
right.
even
yeah.
though God knew, and
he
you
wouldn't.
Know he
yeah.
wouldn't. But you know, I just, and some people disagree with that. Would it be that you're double predestination, people that
yeah.
would disagree with this?
They probably would a little bit.
But I can't see how God would only doom one person to hell no matter what they chose,
yeah.
and everybody else gets a chance. Like, I just, that just doesn't fit in with God in the rest of Scripture, I feel like.
Yeah. In his nature, his character,
yes.
which is of love. But at the same time, we can't.
But his ways are higher.
Yeah, that's what I said. We can't.
Also,
the
so
word
we can't
is the word,
it.
And we have to stand on that word that God knew.
He
you
knew.
Absolutely. God knew what Judas would do. You
yeah.
know, and so
God knew exactly what Judas would do, and there was no other way for that to happen.
Right.
But Judas completely did in his free will.
Right.
That's the bigness of our God. It's very
yeah.
similar to what Peter preaches in the first sermon, that the Jesus that you killed, talking to the Jews, according to the plan of God before the foundations of the world, well, they didn't do it because they felt used by God. They did it because of their blindness and their
yeah.
rejection of the Messiah and their rejection of the Word of God. It was their free will,
mm-hmm.
but it was planned before the foundation of the world.
Right.
That's the bigness of our God.
Yes.
And
I think we can learn a really important thing from Judas too, that every decision matters so much, and I don't really think he knew to the fullest extent of what
mm-hmm.
how damaging, eternally damaging.
Right.
Like, I don't think he took that statement serious when
yeah.
Jesus said it would be better
yeah.
if you were never born.
His heart was filled with greed. You know, he wanted
so he
money.
Didn't take the fear. He didn't have
yeah.
the fear of the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we can learn, like, even if we're not the one betraying Jesus like
right.
he did, every decision that we make that's
mm-hmm.
anti-Christ is going to have a bigger
result than we could ever
yes.
imagine. Yeah.
Yes.
And we do that even with sin. Sometimes we do something that, you know, you've never been out there in the world, but I was in the world at one point.
I have a little
bit. You have a little bit? Okay. I think of you just saying that this never done anything wrong
no.
in her life. But anyway, I was in the world for years, and, you know, you're just in the moment and you make a decision, and then those consequences are way worse. I never even thought about how it would hurt this person.
Yeah.
I never even thought about what, you know, and I had a situation with someone that was an addict, and they told me, they said, I never even realized how much I was hurting you. All I knew is I had to feel what I needed. I had
mm-hmm.
to feel my need. I never meant for it to go that far. And so Judas definitely, you know, I never realized how it affected you.
Yeah.
And so I'm sure in Judas's moment of greed of 30 pieces of silver, wow, you know, and he's just eating and he's going to take part of this knowing. But then once he entered it, then it dropped down in his heart and it was over for him. I mean, and then that's why he hung himself. Then the reality of what they did to him, and they realized he probably just thought they'd put him in jail. Maybe, I don't know. I'm just talking here. You know, he's probably thinking I'll sell him, and then they'll either, you know, they'll just. But he never realized. I don't think he might have known the law. Yeah. I don't know.
He may not even. I would say too, there is even a possibility. He didn't think it would happen this quickly.
Right.
Because honestly, for them to crucify somebody this close to Passover would not have been very common.
Okay.
That's why they put it in the Roman Empire hand. Because if they would have crucified him, the Pharisees and the scribes and them couldn't have actually even done this, the ceremony. Mm-hmm. They'd have been unclean for it. And I think Judas probably did have that thought a little bit, like, okay, I'll turn him over. It's not going to be a big deal.
Right.
And he could even have thought, like, I've seen him get himself out of some pretty tough predicaments.
He'll do a miracle. He'll be all right.
Like, honestly, like, I mean, there's been plenty of times they try to lay hands on him, and he just disappears.
Right. Yeah.
And Judas is probably thinking, he'll just do it again.
Yeah.
In the show, that's the take they go with.
Is it?
Yeah. Yeah, that he really thought and hoped. Like, he was putting his money on the fact that he was going to get out of this.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah.
Haven't got to that far in the show.
Yeah.
I've paused for a while.
Started the show and never went past episode two.
I'm trying. I'm with you, Miss Chris.
I haven't tried lately, but I've tried it twice. And I don't think there's anything wrong with it, but for some reason it hasn't clicked.
It just doesn't jive well.
Yeah. I know.
I'm the same way.
I can't get into it. And forgive me, I thought I was the only one, so thank you, Aaron.
No. There's
a lot of people in hiding.
I've been the vocal one about it.
Right.
And I've tried to be fair. I even went into the second season a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm trying to be fair. And there's the three things I do like is just – I don't really like what they've done, like adding extra to the disciples.
Yeah.
I do like the showing what I said earlier about like their struggles. I think that is very important to that.
They were human. Yeah.
And then John the Baptist in the series. I might watch it just for John the Baptist. I mean, he is.
I haven't seen it.
A funny guy.
Have you already got to the part where he's not in it anymore, though?
Yeah, so I'm done. but when they beheaded him, I was done. I was like, I have no point to watch this show now because I was really just watching it for John the Baptist.
I'll fast forward to that one.
He says some funny things. He's like very. I don't know, out there, like almost eccentric, like, I just like him.
But you kind of picture the way John was.
Yeah,
probably.
That's how most people do think.
I think it's like, I would like to be this guy's friend. Like,
right.
I want to be this guy's friend. All right, let's do our first trivia question of the day. Pastor Dwayne Kidd's in there with us, Miss Crystal. He can never watch it either. I'm with you. I even went into the seconds, and I was done. Like, it can't hook
and,
me.
Yeah. I mean, my brother in Texas is like, have y'all watched, you know, and I'm like, I tried. And he's like, what? You know, it makes you feel like, oh, you're a bad Christian because you can't get into it.
Yeah.
So I'll try again.
I tried really hard.
Yeah, I'll try again.
I tried really hard. And there was a few things I liked about it.
There was nothing bad at all. And I would either get distracted or I couldn't. I don't know.
Yeah.
I just couldn't get in it.
Now,
into it.
House of David hooked me pretty good. I like that
Jason
one.
Jason Miller told me to watch that, and I just haven't done it yet.
One got me pretty good. It took some liberty in some things.
Mm-hmm.
But
a little bit more in certain areas, but it's really well made.
It was. It was good.
Talk about, like, you're not going to get distracted with that one, I don't think.
No. In 2 Kings, who sacked the Syrian camp? In 2 Kings, who sacked the Syrian camp? We'll be right back here after the break with That Will Preach. All right, we are back here on this beautiful day in the neighborhood. We don't have an answer yet for that trivia question. In 2 Kings, who sacked the Syrian camp? We do have a guest today or not, Miss Hannah?
Mm-mm.
All right, we don't have a guest today. So we got plenty of time. It'd just be me and Crystal for a while here in a minute. Whole crew's out.
I know.
Normally, I had some guests, and then we had so many co-host. We didn't need a guest.
Did the Raise Hallelujah crowd, did they have a convention or something? We didn't know about it. Like, was we not invited to this?
I don't know. Maybe they're at the revival in McDaniel.
Are they the wheel within the wheel? Or
they at the fair?
Yeah, they're already there, ain't they? Yeah.
They're on the Ferris wheel right now.
They're having a Raise a Hallelujah convention breakfast somewhere. Right.
They're at a VIP early meet and greet.
I really don't know what's going on with Miss Kara. We do need to pray for Miss Jeannie with her husband. So we just want to pray for them.
And, absolutely.
You know, we'll do that.
Before. Yeah. Well, let's do this. Miss Hannah, do you want to take us in the Kingdom Corner? Because me and Crystal, we're going to have a lot of time to talk here in a minute.
I don't think there'll be any problem with that. No. The way you talk and I talk.
Yeah, I was about to say, I mean, I'm a talker, but I'm not too winded with you guys. So let's see here. Okay, so I'm actually going back in reverse mode in Mark. So reverse. Back to chapter 1, verse 40. So it's the leper here, verse 40. And a leper came to him, imploring him and kneeling, and said to him, "If you will, you can make me clean." Moved with pity, he stretched out his hand and touched him and said to him, "I will be clean." And immediately the leprosy left him. And immediately the leprosy left him, and he was made clean. And Jesus sternly charged him and sent him away at once and said to him, "See that you say nothing to anyone, but go, show yourself to the priest, and offer for your cleansing what Moses commanded for proof to them." And so I think the part that we all like here, but it's just so powerful, is, you know, if he says, "If you will," you know, are you willing, Lord? Like, and I can't imagine living in this time period without... Now, they had the Torah, they had the Old Testament, and they should have known God's character through that. But I feel like because of how many things were added to the Word at this time, there was kind of a distorted view of God in this time, because there were so many laws, so many traditions, and the people who were supposed to be teaching the law, they were corrupted too. Mm-hmm. And so I feel like the view of God and the character was very confused by the people. And so here Jesus is establishing and showing who God's true character is, but this guy does not seem to know. And he said, you know, "If you will, I know that you can make me clean." And so the man, he humbled himself and he sought the will of God. And he wasn't afraid to show that he didn't need it. That he did need it. It reminds me of when Jesus talks about, you know, those who are well have no need of a physician. Mm-hmm. But those who are sick, those are the ones that I'm going to meet with, because they're hungry. Right. They're thirsty. Mm-hmm. They're willing to look a fool in front of everybody in order to get what they need.
Right.
And that's what I love about this guy is, you know, he may have been ignorant of God's character. He may have not had it all together, but he came with faith. He came with faith, and he came in humility to say, "I don't have it all together, and I need a touch from you, Lord." And I don't want to just, you know, exalt this guy too much, because, you know, it's by the Spirit that anyone even comes to Jesus anyways. So it's not that I'm just exalting this guy, but I think we can learn from this, definitely. When we show up with an entitlement or a bitter or an arrogant spirit, that turns God away. You know, he resists the proud, but his ear is open to the humble. His ear is inclined to those who are open and laying themselves down, saying, "God, I don't have anywhere else to turn. I've sought the world and it didn't fill me. Man's empty praise, treasures that fade, they're not enough. None of these things are working. I need you, God." And I think we all have to get to that point. But even those of us who have already gotten to that point and say we have a relationship with the Lord, I think we have to stay there. Mm-hmm. Now, not to say we won't grow. We're going to learn more of who God is. We're going to get off the milk and get on the meat. But when it comes to that spirit, the spirit that we're of, you know, Jesus even asked the disciples, "You don't know what spirit you're of right now," when they were trying to call down fire from heaven. And I think this spirit that he was of is what I was getting from this reading at this time, is we need to be of that spirit of desperation. We need to be of that spirit of, we know we're looking in the mirror. We're not looking at each other, and we see the need that we have, and we run to Jesus before we run somewhere else to get it. And we're not afraid to look a fool in front of everybody else. Right. Admit that we don't have it all together. Admit that we do have this, you know, a leper was kind of, you know, like, oh my gosh, like nobody wanted to be around you. Nobody wanted to touch you. Nope. You're unclean. And I think we have those things in our lives. Maybe it's not a physical thing, but whatever it is that we need a touch from Jesus to make us whole in that area. But we're so afraid to show it,
right.
To admit that we need to be made whole in that area. And so that's what I really got from this time reading through it. And you know, there's so much other things here, how Jesus is the fulfillment of the law, how Jesus still had him honor the law and go back to the priests. You know, Jesus did never contradicted the law. And I love that, because he was being accused of that all the time, but he never contradicted anything in the law.
Right.
But he still showed the compassion. He still, you know, just used each moment to teach. And so that's the main thing for me is, you know, also he's been speaking to me a lot about, you know, not my will, but yours be done. Mm. And I was reading through, this thing about David, how yes, David messed up. He, you know, made a lot of mistakes, but he, at the end of the day, sought the Lord's will. Mm-hmm. And it was talking about how when you're a man after God's own heart,
right.
And you're a true worshiping in spirit and truth, you will seek God's will over your own will.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I one thing I was wanting to do, and I didn't do it last night, but write down, it said, you know, what are some things that you need to say, Lord, you're not my will, but your will.
Right.
So write down these specific things and what's the Lord bringing to your attention. And so I want to do that, because, you know, I think if we don't take that inventory mm-hmm. in our lives and realize, you know, we need to release this to the Lord and say, not my will, but your will be done.
Right.
And thankfully, you know, this guy soon came to realize the Lord's will is for us to be made whole
mm-hmm.
always.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think we can get ourselves into a dangerous place whenever we assume that God tempted us or
right.
God put us in that pit or God did this and God did that. Yes, he allows things, but just like it ties right back in with the Judas conversation, we sinned. God will never lead someone to sin. And, you know, even though he knows what we're going to choose, he knows what's going to happen, and we can't understand it all, we're responsible for if we're going to sit and keep those things hidden, or if we're going to let it be exposed, humble ourselves so that he doesn't have to humble us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think about that verse too, like, God, I don't want you to humble.
I
like what he said to David, you know, he said, because you've hidden this, this is going to be exposed.
Right.
I'm going to expose you in front of everyone because you've tried to hide this from me.
Mm-hmm.
But he held him to a higher standard.
Yeah.
You see, I forget that sometimes, you know, as a believer, God holds us to a higher standard,
right.
Because we're not supposed to withhold anything from him,
mm-hmm.
and he will just put it on display in front of everybody.
Right. You're right.
If we don't get it out there in the open before him. But also on the flip side, I feel like there's things that we can have secrets, good intimate things that only us and God know.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that is amazing to me, that we can confess something to the Lord and nobody else will ever have to know about it.
Right.
And then he tosses it as far as the east is from the west, totally forgets it,
mm-hmm.
and only he ever knew it.
Right.
And he can be that for us.
Mm-hmm.
He is that. He wants to be that for us. And so he's just really good. And reading back through that, hopefully somebody's encouraged by that don't feel like you have to hide it, because the very thing that you hide will destroy you.
Mm-hmm.
But when we get it out in the open, we will be made whole. And that's when we can start to walk in the things
right.
of the Lord.
And as Pastor Aaron said Sunday, if you know, sometimes not wanting to face what God is trying to do in you, to get rid of the strongholds in
mm-hmm.
your life, you know, to get those things exposed and bring them out because it's only for our good.
Yeah.
You know, because those strongholds keep us bound, keep us from our ministry, keep us from being able to love or forgive and do all those things. So, you know, you have to be, my little notes at the bottom of my Bible says that The man says, if you're willing, you can make me clean, affirmed Jesus's ability while submitting to his willingness. Mm-hmm. You know, so he knew God could do it because he says, you can
make me clean.
You could do it, but are you willing? And sometimes we do that. God, I used to say that. God, I know you can heal, but will you heal me?
Yeah.
You know, and that's not always a good statement. You know, we have to believe that God wants us healed.
Yeah.
And Jesus goes and says, let me show you. And he takes him by the hand. He goes past all, like you said, the law of how, you know, and just touches a leper, you know, and does those things. So it's, that's a good word, is that the man had to be, but he knew it. You know, and we have to get to that place where we know it and we believe it, you know, and not can, but I know you will, God.
Yeah.
You know. I mean, not will you, but I know you can, but will you is not a good faith statement sometimes.
Yeah.
But we got to get there. We got to get there. But sometimes strongholds hold us back. Fear holds us back. Doubt and unbelief holds us back.
Yeah.
So that's a good word of just, he just went in there and said, God, I know you can. Now, will you? And Jesus said, yes.
Yeah, it's like he met him where he was at.
Right.
He met him where he was at.
Yeah, that's a good word.
Amen. Good stuff. It was a good one. I'm listening in here, and just I think it is like we're so quick to. I want to make sure I word this. You ever just, you know, you're trying to filter because you want to make sure you word it right, so you don't have to recant later for saying something.
Yeah,
especially in the radio.
We want to protect ourselves.
It's recorded.
We want to protect ourselves, and we try to protect others.
Mm-hmm.
And. Like, I've sit across the room from people sometimes, and they're broken, and my flesh side wants to say, it's going to be okay, it's going to be okay.
Mm.
But the spirit side's like, let the brokenness work.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because it's almost as if the Lord allowed them in that place for the brokenness to produce something.
Mm-hmm.
And we're always just telling people, it's okay, it's okay. You're just going to move on. And instead of letting the brokenness actually fix them.
Right.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And that's even going back to the strong codes and going back to all that. It's like he's going past all of that other nonsense. He's going past even the religiosity. He's going past the facade. And we want to go to church, tell everybody, you're so amazing. You're perfect. Give yourself a pat on the back. And God's like, no, I'm trying to break you because there's something so valuable inside of you.
Right.
And it's like that one, I don't know if it was, it was one of the days last week I told the story about this guy was given a rock.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if it was on Tuesday or not, but I can't remember. So if y'all, Ms. Crystal, you heard this story, I'm sorry. No. But he was given a rock and the guy said, make an eagle. And the guy said, okay, I'll sculpt the eagle. And this other guy comes up to him and said, how are you going to get an eagle out of this rock? And he said, it's not a rock. It's an eagle. He said, the only thing I've got to do is beat off all the parts that's not an eagle.
Mm. Mm. Yeah.
And I think that's what the Lord does in our lives sometimes. Like, you are an eagle ready to soar, but you look like a rock right now.
Right.
But he takes his chisel in the spirit, and he's going to start knocking away. And before you know it, there's something inside of you that you never imagined inside.
And
of
nobody
you.
Else realized it either.
Yeah.
And, you know, even looking at a separate part of that scripture that Hannah read, the obedience of it, he was not obedient in an area, too. And it makes you wonder because it says that God made him clean. And he says, mm-hmm. He gave him instruction in it to keep your healing, do this. Now, we don't know if he lost his healing. It doesn't say. But there's such an importance when the Lord heals us and when we go through the strongholds, mm-hmm. talking about, you know, letting them go, then listen to the Lord and get the word on how to stay away from that.
Yeah.
Or how to, you know, stay. And because the Spirit talks about the scripture talks about once that spirit leaves, if you don't fill it with the word, it's going to come back 7 times stronger. And, you know, you're going to deal with it all over again. So I'm not saying that that's what God was saying to him, but he was giving him an instruction after his healing came.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, when we release these strongholds and we say, you know, I've had enough. I face you. I cried out. I scream it out. Whatever happens in the moment of the stronghold being exposed, that's usually keeping it down and hidden. It can't not being exposed can hinder your walk. But when you say, and you say, I'm willing to go there,
mm-hmm.
and I'm willing to face it. And this man went to Jesus and said, God, I know you can heal me, but will you? You know, mm-hmm. your willingness, you know, are you willing? And Jesus says, yes, I am. So he heals him and then gives an instant instruction. and the man disobeys it. Now, again, it doesn't say if he lost his healing. I don't know. But, you know, he didn't go do what God told him. So it's so important that when we do get set free from strongholds or whatever's going on in our life, that we listen for the Lord for instruction of how to keep that healing, how to keep that deliverance from
how
the stronghold,
how
to walk it
out.
Absolutely.
Yeah. But you did bring up a good point there. And I do agree 100% with that statement of walking it out. And I think a lot of people receive healing they don't keep. I do think that. I think that's a conversation you could have. But you said one thing there that I really wanted to pinpoint, because there was somebody close to me, just they were walking through something that really nobody knew about. And they just texted me one evening and said, hey, I need you to just pray for this. I've not really told anybody else, but this is it. And just exposing it and getting it out there in the light.
Yes.
It's like the mold starts to die when it hits sunlight, you know? And I think so often that's kind of what James is trying to tell us. Like, hey, if you'll confess this, there's healing. If you'll confess it, get it out. It may be uncomfortable. It may even be costly. Like, it may be hard. You remember the movie War Room?
Yes.
And the husband who was embezzling and stealing money, like the Lord radically dealt with his life, and he had to confess it. He had to get it out there, but it was something that was hidden, but it was very costly.
Yeah.
And then I love how they play it out in the movie The Forge, because that guy now,
I haven't seen that one.
You haven't seen The Forge? Oh, you would love The Forge.
Yeah.
But it brings that same guy in. So it's like this continuation and you get to see him post prison and post jail and all that kind of stuff. And it was difficult to confess that, but it brought it to light, and there was great healing, and there was great.
And sometimes when you're willing to, like, in my life, and in fact, it just happened this past week. I was just talking, actually, with Todd. We were talking about an issue that I was kind of dealing with and not really understanding. And as I talked about it, the Lord began to reveal to me where it stemmed from. And I was like walking it out, like you're talking about, as I confessed it and said it out loud and heard myself, then I could hear the Lord saying, because of this. And I just talked it out, and that's all it was. There was no great deliverance of a demon that came out and I flopped on the floor. I just, and as I began to talk it out, I began to cry it out, I began to release it to the Lord, and I knew where it came from. Now I can recognize it, and I can say, wait, I know where that comes from. I know where this thing has entered from years ago. And I have just dealt with it all these years. And so we need to, you know, be willing to come to the Lord and say, Lord, I know you can heal me. Are you willing? And he's going to say, yes. Are you willing to be obedient to either talk to somebody or get alone with me and let me deal with it? It started alone with the Lord and I. And then Todd happened to call later, and I began to talk about something, and then the Lord just revealed where the source was. So you never know how it's going to come about. You know, that doesn't mean you have to go in front of the church and repent all your sins, and God's going to deliver you. That's not what we're talking about. But finding that safe place, either with the Lord, which we all always should do, but sometimes it's through another person of just saying it out loud, you know, of like, this hurts or this happened, and letting somebody pray with you.
And, you know, we get, especially when the, now this happens often, but it was like a lot more whenever the whole deliverance phase kind of hit the church, and we were trying to navigate through all that. And I'm 100% behind it. I'm 100% with you that definitely not everything is a come out. Honestly, the come outs are far and few between. I don't think they're as common as people make them. But people would come to us, and especially like me and Joe, when they'd be like, hey, we need deliverance, or this person needs, like, well, let's be careful, like, this person. Like, you know, we could, he's like, there's times that my wife would say over me, he probably needs deliverance. But you know, we would always back up and say, well, like, odds are you probably don't need, quote, unquote, a deliverance. Let's see where it's at. Like, let's pray about this. Sit down. And we never just went into, like, come out, come out. Like, it was always like, hey, you, let's meet here tomorrow. And let's just talk. Like, let's talk first and see what's going on. And honestly, so many times there came healing just in talking.
Just
and,
letting it out.
And I would say 90% of the time that we dealt with anything like this, it was never a come out. It was always like, who do you need to forgive? What door do you need to shut in your own heart? Like, what is bleeding, what is hurting, what is broken. And I mean, it would open up all these conversations about things that happened at 10 years old or right. 20 years old even, or this happened, or my uncle told me this, or my aunt spoke this over me, and mm-hmm. it just never left my head. And I was like, well, you don't need a deliverance. You just need to break that word right. curse off of your right. life. Like, you need to get out of your mind. Pull that strong yeah. code down. Like, and so I really do appreciate you saying that, because I think it's true.
I was raised in a deliverance ministry. So, when I was 15, my parents came into this, and then they met up with Pastor Ron Bro, and it was a great ministry. I mean, it was, but it was pretty extreme. Yeah. This was back in the 80s, and my dad got involved in it, and I wasn't saved, so I thought they were all nuts, you know. But I have seen where it was actual demons, you know, all these things. So I was raised in it. I've known about the book called Pigs in the Parlor, mm-hmm. all those, you know, studied it and that kind of thing years ago. And then my dad took over the church and kind of brought a balance to it, not in, you know, through the Lord and all. And so, like you said, still believe in deliverance very strongly. I believe that you can have a spirit of lust. Absolutely. I believe you can have a spirit of anger. I believe all those things. But sometimes finding the root, and that's what deliverance is. It's supposed to be not just always up in the front, somebody lays hand on you and a demon comes out. It's supposed to be a process of a session where you begin to find out, just talking with someone, where's the root? Tell Absolutely. Me. You know, and they would start out talking about your life, where you started, how it went, and sometimes just finding that. And everything's not a demon. Mm-mm. You know, I know yeah. you need to go to break, but I was raised in the thing where everything was a demon. Santa Claus was a demon. I mean, and I know some people still believe that way. I'm just saying everything was a demon. And so then my parents found a balance in it, and yeah. still don't agree with the fantasy of Santa Claus, but he's actually not a demon. He's a big distraction from what Christmas is.
Yeah, that's kind of what we were striving to do as best as possible, because you do get zealous over this. And mm-hmm. I mean, I have seen slithering, I've seen crazy yeah. contortions, and I've seen yeah. things that I probably never really want to see again. But I think there is a balance in yes. it, and we've got to be wise. And I think the tactic of the enemy is you becoming so enamored with that mm-hmm. that you almost participate in witchcraft against it.
Yeah.
Like, you become yeah. very self-absorbed and self-prideful, mm-hmm. and you got to be careful not to do that.
Right.
And I've seen some deliverance ministers who did that. Like, right. I seen one guy step up there and say, hey, guys, watch this. And he went across the room and made a baby leap in a belly. I was like, that's not Holy Ghost. Yeah. Like, that's not Holy
that's
Ghost.
Weird. Yeah.
But I think when we entertain demons so much, don't yeah. be surprised when they start to latch on, or
right.
we give them microphones to talk about. I'm, you know, just the things I saw in the movement really did worry me quite mm-hmm. a bit. I talked about it openly,
right.
And try to bring a balance. And
it's a very real thing.
It's a very real thing. Yeah. But it's also not something to play with.
Right.
And I felt like it almost was becoming very entertainish and right. show.
When it exalts the devil instead of exalts Jesus, you know,
it's the problem.
Then there's a problem.
Absolutely. All right. 2 Kings, who sacked the Syrian camp? We'll be right back here after the break on Mornings of Box 2 Radio on the Box 2 Radio Network. All right. We are back here. Still no answer to the trivia question. I've had some people text in, but I've not had anybody call. And our rules state you have to call. But in 2 Kings, who sacked the Syrian camp? And I'll say it like this. I'll give you a hint. It's not a name. It's a group of people. Let's say it like that. It's not a nation. It's just a group of them. Who were they? There was a couple. Several. More than two. But all righty.
I love that song that was just playing. It's the power of your name.
I love it, yeah. too.
We went to Karen Wheaton in Hamilton, Alabama, a couple months ago, and they did that song. And, it's powerful.
Yeah. Did you go to, like, a front porch conference? Or
no, it was it's just the church, the ramp.
Oh, yeah.
We didn't even know. I met Todd down there and picked up Gracie at the same time from Florida. And we were in Hamilton, Alabama, where Todd had got where he was sent to. And so we drove by, and it said The Ramp. And I said, wait a minute, Karen Wheaton's ministry's in Alabama. And I looked it up, and sure enough, it was her ministry. So we went, and they have an awesome worship, and it was really good. And
yeah.
they had just got through with the youth conference. So it was really good. And I got to meet, you probably saw, I don't know if you saw Facebook then, it was back in June, I think. And I got to meet Karen. She came up and prayed with us and that kind of thing. Prayed over Graceland. It was really good. It was good.
Yeah.
It was a really great time. But that song was playing and, oh, it's just so good.
Graceland seemed to really loved the Winter Ramp when she went with us.
Yeah, she did.
A lot of them did. It was it was good. I think
she told Karen Wheaton we were here, just, you know, so she really enjoyed. So
it is great. And so all right, well, we are Miss Crystal, you got something for us today?
I do. Excuse me, I'm trying to clear my voice this morning. I was reading yesterday and I asked the Lord for a word for us this morning and to add to with Miss Jeannie and Karen and Hannah, but here I am, and so it's going to be Pastor Aaron and I this morning discussing this, but it's Lamentations chapter 3, and I'm going to start in verse 22, and we all know this scripture well. I don't know what translation it is, because it's not King James, but that says the steadfast love of the Lord, but mine, which is similar to the English ESV, is because of the Lord's faithful love, we do not perish. For his mercies never end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. I say, the Lord is my portion. Therefore, I will put my hope in him. And this is this right here in verse 25 is where the Lord began to speak to me. The Lord is good to those who wait for him, to the person who seeks him. It is good to wait quietly for deliverance from the Lord. And when I read that, it is good to wait quietly for deliverance from the Lord. I've just begun to hear the Lord in the fact that I'm believing God for some things. We all are believing God for some things. I'm believing for a prodigal, that kind of thing. And in the waiting sometimes, it just really, it's hard sometimes. And I'm just going to be honest, because I hear things, I see things that's going on, and it's very disturbing and hurtful, and even the rejection of it all. And I just begin to say, Lord, you know, help me. You know, I believe, but help my unbelief. You know, that's what the scripture says. And when I read this, it was like this Lord said, it's in the waiting. Mm-hmm. It's in the waiting. And that's, we don't like to wait. We are very impatient people in our society nowadays. But it says, to the person who seeks him, it is good to wait quietly for deliverance from the Lord. Mm. And I would think that means, oh, my, the deliverance is coming for my prodigal, for my situations that we're dealing with in our own personal lives. And I'm like, no, the deliverance is for me. You know, as I wait quietly, then the deliverance will come from me from anxiety and fear and worry and even anger at times, all the things that come about. And so then I cross-referencing went to James 1, and we all know this scripture well too, but let's look at it from the point of waiting quietly. Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds, for you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness, and let steadfastness or patience have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given him. But let him ask in faith, with no doubting, for the one who doubts is like a wave or the sea that is driven and tossed by the wind. For that person must not suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. All right. And then James 5, it talks again, or it also says in another translation, the double-minded man will receive nothing from the Lord. And so, you know, waiting quietly for deliverance. But what's going to happen in that, as we're going through the trials and we're waiting, we're steadfast, we're patient, it's producing something in us that's going to make us mature. Right. Let me read it all the way. I think I left out the part where it says that we become mature. But endurance must do its complete work so that you may be mature and complete, lacking nothing. And it's a process, I think, that we're going through, that we begin to get mature as we wait on the Lord. We can wait in his divine providence, and knowing that he knows. Last week we talked about God knows. He asked questions, and then it says, but he knew what they would do. Mm-hmm. You know, he knew their thoughts. He knows what we're going through. He sees me. He knows. And this morning, in the waiting, he's creating in me a maturity that's going to come, a trust that's going to come like nothing ever, waiting quietly for the Lord. For it is good to wait quietly for deliverance from the Lord. Let's look at James 5, verse 17 says, "Be patient, therefore, brothers, until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, being patient about it until it receives the early and the late rains. You also be patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand." And one translation says, "Strengthen your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is near." And I think I've said it now, every program, Romans 4, Abraham strengthened his faith and gave glory to God and was fully persuaded that what God had promised, he would bring it to pass. So in that waiting, if you break down, and you jump in, Pastor Aaron, if you want to say anything, I'm totally fine.
Well, can I say one thing?
Sure, yeah.
I don't want to cut you off because I'm enjoying this.
No, go ahead.
Do you think possibly like the silence in the waiting, you know, we definitely know like waiting is active. Like
right.
We are still doing and we are still like.
ING, right.
Yes. But do you think maybe the silent too is not getting in his way?
Right. Oh, Lord. Let's don't talk about that. I've done that.
I'm just kind of thinking like that. Yeah. It doesn't mean we just sit down in a pew and don't do nothing. It's like, but how many times have I'm just looking at myself in my own mirror.
Yes.
I've gotten the way.
Right.
I've tried to do it myself.
Right.
I've tried to push us left when he's wanting to go right.
And even in the natural, you think about it this way. They call people that are dealing with family members that have problems and addictions and things. They say, don't be an enabler.
Mm-hmm.
Don't get in the way of what I'm trying to do with this person.
Yeah.
You stay out of the way. You've watched those shows. I used to watch it called Intervention. I don't know if you ever seen that years ago. And it was dealing with addicts.
Yeah.
And in those addicts, they would always say it was either the mama or the daddy or a family member, grandma, somebody that was more of the problem than the addict because they enabled them. They got in the way every time. And they'd say, if you'll get out of the way, throw them out if you have to throw them out, you know. And it was a type of letting that person grow up without an enabler. And sometimes we are enablers for God, saying, God, let me show you. I'm going to help you, God.
Oh, yes.
I'm going to show you how to do this.
Oh,
but
yeah.
If we wait quietly, and I'm like you, Pastor Aaron, I heard you say it Sunday morning about the anxiety and the worry and the fear that comes at you. And again, my family members were the hereditary curse in my family, the hereditary strongholds in my family were worry and fear and anxiety. I literally, and I'm not exaggerating, I literally had an uncle that was so nervous. They called him, they said he had the nerves. And he got so nervous about things and anxious that he literally went insane. And they say, one of the things about anxiety is it literally means going around and around in circles until you drive yourself insane because you worry and you worry and you worry. But if we wait in the quiet, so I am famous. It's even a part of control that happens because you can't let things fall apart. You have to fix everything. You're anxious about it. You worry about it. Let me fix that for you. Let me take over here. Let me do it. And because you don't want things to fall apart, but waiting quietly on God, letting things fall apart sometimes. And oh my gosh, that is so hard to watch something. It's hard with a family member to watch them go through things and watch them falling apart, watch them destroying their lives. And you have to sit back and say, God, I wait quietly for deliverance from the Lord.
Yeah.
Not just from them, for me.
It's hard.
Yeah.
I heard a story on James Dobson one time on Family Talk, and this lady was talking about her grown son who was an addict.
Right.
And she has shared this testimony that he would do well for a couple days, and then he would just show up at her house.
Right.
And every time he would show up at her house, she knew what that meant.
Right.
He was on a binge or he was needing money or something like that, and she always took him in.
Right.
Like, she was like, all right, come on, you can come sleep here.
Right.
Until one night, she knew it was a cold night, and she knew that he had a worn out for him or something like that. Mm. And she knew he could have stayed there.
Mm.
And if he didn't stay there, he was going to sleep under a bridge.
Mm.
And she said that night I knew I had to let him sleep under the bridge.
Wow. Yeah.
And she said that night I told him no.
Mm.
And after that night he ended up in jail.
Wow.
And then when he ended up in jail, he ended up getting born again. And when he got born again, he got free.
That's awesome.
But she said she had to make that decision that night by prayer. And she knew that night she had to quit enabling.
Right. And it's not always about addicts. It's
about absolutely not.
Control in our life. It's about we try to do things for God, even in ministry, in in our own personal finances, even sometimes.
Yeah.
Whatever's going on in our lives with a situation, it's like wait on him and his divine knowledge. He knows the answer already. He's just going to see how you're going to respond to it.
Yeah.
You wait quietly for deliverance from the Lord. You getting deliverance. Like, I'd like to say, well, that's for the person or that's for... No, it's for me. Like I said, to the deliverance for to sit back and say, God, I've done all I can do. I have literally done everything spiritually, naturally, financially, doing what I can in a situation. And it's not working. Mm-hmm. It has not helped one bit. But I sit back and say, God, the steadfast love of the Lord endures forever, you know.
Uh-huh.
And it says his mercies are new every morning. But now, I need you to, the Lord's good to those who wait for him.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where you're going to get it. I also did a little study on patience. And one of the translations of the word patience is independent, unyielding. It's a stout-hearted soldier, which means you're going to be patient and wait on the Lord. You're going to just stay right where you're at. It's a deliberate purpose to, I'm not going to do anything but wait on the Lord. It's a military term, and it comes from, it's not exact, but it comes from, its heritage comes from, means do not budge. It's a fierce determination to just wait until the command comes. And, you know, I don't know if you can remember the movie Braveheart.
Mm-hmm.
And he's in front of, they're about to attack, and he's going on his horse back in front of the people. He's got the blue face, you know, and that's one of my favorite movies. The Lord has showed me more through that movie. But anyway, he's pacing back and forth in front of the troops, and they're ready to go. They're like the horses, they're even holding their horses back. And he's going, this is what he says, hold, and he just keeps saying that. And they're at the, you know, waiting at the bit, ready to go. And then he finally says, go. And when they went, they conquered. But it's so hard for us in the hold moment, in the waiting, to hold back and just say, God, I'm going to trust you. I'm going to sit right here quietly. And that's a big thing, too.
Yeah.
Be quiet. Oh, Lord. I have such a hard time with that. But when I think I know the answer, oh, I can help you. I can help you. Let me help you.
Absolutely.
And it's so hard to be quiet in that moment.
And think about how many times we've seen waiting and patience play out in the scripture.
Yes.
You can go to David. David was anointed king, yet there was a period of waiting.
Right.
And even in that period of waiting, he kept serving.
Mm-hmm.
He was already king. He was already anointed king by Samuel, and yet he's playing a harp for the other king.
Exactly.
And then you go into Jacob. How long did Jacob wait for Rebekah? Was it 14?
Yeah.
14 years. Joseph's in prison for a crime he did not commit.
Right.
Abraham and Sarah, 25 years. You get into Paul, who gets imprisoned, and he's just sitting there. And he writes how many books in prison? Like, there's all these men and women. They were waiting for the promise of God, for the deliverance of God. Even Israel, 400 years, 500 years in captivity, another 40 years in the wilderness. They're waiting. Yeah, I think though, we see them get in the way of God sometimes.
Right. Yeah, I was going to say that.
We're learning.
Yeah. Look how many times they messed up and tried to do it themselves. Yeah.
But we also see, like, the Lord shows up. It's just not always on our timing.
Right.
Yet every one of these people were active.
Right.
I think that's one of the biggest things for people. And I hear young people a lot because, you know, we are blessed with a lot of young adults around here and a lot of young people, and we love them. And it's a joy in my life to really see them growing in the Lord. But one thing I learned from young people a whole lot is, well, I don't know what I'm going to do with my life.
Mm-hmm.
So they don't do nothing with it until then. You ever notice that?
Yeah,
like, I don't know what the God wants me to do, so I'm not going to do anything until I get a burning bush. And I'm like, that's not how it works.
Yeah,
like, go pick up a toilet bowl brush until then. Like, do something. Like, go and, you know, go and share the gospel with your neighbor. Go and do this. Go and flip burgers for a season. Like, you just, And I think we've enabled almost a group of people not to do anything until they get the word.
Right, right.
And I'm like, there's plenty of things with Scripture.
Yeah, yeah, that's not faith. Yeah. But, you know, Psalms 40 says, I waited patiently for the Lord, comma, and he turned to me and heard my cry for help. You waited first. You know, you waited and turned. And he brought me from a desolate place out of the mighty clay and set my feet on rock. Again, and making my steps secure. Again, not saying you shouldn't do anything, but stay out of God's way in it.
Absolutely.
You know, let God, in the moments of desperation, in the moments of decision making, wait on the Lord. You know, that doesn't mean don't work, don't do, but that means wait on the Lord as far as the answers to prayers. Mm-hmm. You know, and it says it is good to wait quietly for the deliverance of the Lord. And then we can't even talk about this subject without talking about Isaiah 40,
mm-hmm.
verse 28. Do you not know, have you not heard, that Yahweh is the everlasting God, the creator of the whole earth? He never grows faint or weary. There is no limit to his understanding. He gives strength to the weary and strengthens the powerless. Youths may faint and grow weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who trust in the Lord, those who wait on the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on with wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. Teach me, Lord, to wait is that old song. And, you know, to run and not grow weary, to just keep moving, putting one step in front of the other, waiting on the Lord. Wait quietly for the deliverance. Wait quiet for him to speak. We said, hear, move, and say. When he does speak, move out, you know, and go do what he's told you to do. But we're talking more of situations where we want to do things and we want to make it happen.
Mm-hmm.
And you just can't do it. There's some situations, some problems, some whatever that we face, times when the Lord just says, wait quietly for your deliverance, for your deliverance. And then you'll see your promises come to pass when you wait on him and let him speak, let him work things out, let him shift things. He's making a way where there seems to be no way. But we have to get grounded. How do we do that? By getting in the Word, finding out the Word, standing on the Word. You know, in my situation, when the anxiety has been just attacking me, I've just been running to the Word. And yesterday, in running to the Word, hearing this Word, and talking it out, the Lord spoke to me and said, this is where the root began.
Mm-hmm.
Now remember that. Stay on it. And he just spoke to me clearly that that's where it came from.
Mm-hmm.
That's where it started. Now, we know where it comes from. Now, don't go back there.
That's right.
Don't move in that anymore. Don't let guilt, don't let whatever, don't let worry. Release it, and now wait quietly.
Yeah.
For the deliverance. Your deliverance is coming. It is here. It's moving in my life today because I feel free over. I can just sit back. I can't do nothing anyway.
That's right.
You
yeah.
know, and wait quietly.
The sharpness of the hook is dulling.
Mm.
And when you figure out the root and you figure out where it's really hooking you at,
right.
you can by the Spirit of God start to dull the tip so it has it can't grab so much. But
and in the meantime, give glory to God.
That's right. Now, I'll give an example of how I think a lot of times we are with the Lord in our waiting. I will tell my lovely wife sometimes, like, hey, you just go into that store, take your time. I'm just going to sit out here in the car. I don't know if Todd's ever done this or not.
Oh, it sleeps. He sleeps the whole time.
Well, and I'm okay with that. Like, I'm okay with waiting until it goes past 15 minutes.
Yeah.
And then it's like, and then I'm supposed to be quiet because I told her to take as long as she wants. But in my flesh, I'm like, all right, it's been a long time now.
That's
like
right, exactly.
15 minutes, 20, 30 minutes. Like now I'm not wanting to be so silent
anymore. I
didn't
really mean that long. You know,
yeah.
That long.
Lord, when I said I was going to be patient, it was only for a week.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
You know,
I didn't mean 4 years. You know?
Yeah, I did not mean that. And I think that's how I feel in the spirit sometimes
yeah,
the Lord.
That's
I'm
a
like,
good example.
Lord, you just do your thing and I'm going to sit here until I sit here too long.
Right. Well, just do like time, go to sleep. Then you don't even know what time it is.
That's what I need to try.
Yeah.
But usually when I say I'll sit out here, the kids will be like, I'll sit out here with Dad. And
yeah.
I'm like,
oh, yeah. Well, then you're not going to sleep.
But you know what I have found?
Yeah.
I have found this is if she goes to one store that I may not be jiving well,
right.
There's usually another store next to it.
Right.
And if I would go walk through that store,
mm-hmm.
it makes the weight in her getting out of her store a lot
right.
more bearable.
Just, there's other things to look at. There's
and I think
things.
That's the act of waiting. Like, right. yeah, like you talked about waiting for deliverance in this one situation mm-hmm. for the Lord to move.
Right.
And the Lord will move. But if we just sit here and stare at that situation,
yeah, right.
it's harder to be silent.
Right.
And I've noticed that in my own life, too. And there was some things I was kind of processing through, and I was just like, Lord, I don't even know why this is here. Mm-hmm. Like, and it wasn't like grotesque sin or anything. It
no,
was just,
yeah.
it was just mm-hmm. some struggles. Like, mm-hmm. it almost felt like an Alexander the Coppersmith situation. Like, Paul's like, it just keeps buffing
oh,
me, man.
Yeah,
like, it just
yeah.
keeps hitting me. Come on.
Yeah.
Like, the coppersmith just won't leave me alone.
Mm-hmm.
And it was one of those moments.
Right.
And I was like, Lord, you're going to have to take care of it. And I felt like that day I gave it into his hand.
Mm-hmm.
But my problem came when I kept staring at that.
Right.
Because if I keep staring at that and it keeps affecting me, I probably haven't given it to him as much as I thought I did.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not talking about don't bother me. It's not affecting. Because especially like in, you know, cases like the prodigals coming home.
Yeah.
You're so hungry for them
yeah.
to come home. And yet we got to be careful. And I know this because I'm dealing with my own older son in this home situation.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I got to be careful not to dwell on that.
Because
if I'm going to hand it in the hand of the Lord, then I've got to trust him. And
mm-hmm.
that's been hard for me to.
Right.
Because I just want to drive to where they're at and just rip them up.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
you know, like, grow up. And you're like, what are you doing? And it's
I did
like,
all that. It don't work.
And so, and I'm just like, the Lord's like, just if it's in my hand, let it be in my hand. You keep doing what you're called to do.
Because the story of the prodigal says, and this keeps ringing in my ears, when they come to their senses,
mm-hmm.
and I have to believe they are going to come to their senses, but it's when. It's mm-hmm. in the when. When,
yeah.
when God does his work.
Absolutely.
Total, complete work. I know he's working already because things are getting really bad. And so it always gets really bad is what I've always heard before the breakthrough comes.
Yeah.
And I know breakthrough's here. Breakthrough's already, it's already here. And so then that's one of the things, like you're saying, the Lord told me, keep your eyes on me. Just keep singing to me. Just keep giving me glory. Just keep worshiping me. Just keep praising me. And don't go by what you see. And that's easy to say. That's our Christianese right there. Oh, just, you know, just, but walking it out.
It's difficult sometimes.
Waiting quietly is not one of my strong, strong points. Waiting quietly for my deliverance. And it is for the deliverance of whatever is going on. But for my deliverance to be able to be mature and complete, like it says, and to be able to just get out of God's way. Don't be an enabler.
Yeah,
know?
Yeah.
So.
And that's so good. I really do love this conversation about my deliverance.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think this conversation even kind of moves into, you know, when other people's walking through things,
mm-hmm.
like, don't try to get in God's way of them either.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember there was a situation with a person here who somebody kind of caught in, not like a, you know, like a seven deadly sins, like, you know,
yeah.
that kind of thing.
Yeah.
But it was just a little bit of a sinful pattern in their life.
Mm-hmm.
And I had like two or three people come to me and be like, you need to address this quickly.
Mm-hmm.
And so I started praying like, Lord, how would you want me to address this? Like,
right.
you know, and because here's a tricky part. It wasn't one of those black and whites.
Mm-hmm.
It was that gray
yeah.
area to where, honestly, they may not have been in that place with the Lord where they would have felt convicted over
right.
it.
Right.
Because there's certain words that I could say it 2 years into the faith that I could not. Does
right.
that make, like,
oh, yeah. oh,
Holy
yeah.
Spirit takes it. So, honestly, in that moment, I feel like the Holy Spirit says, just let me do my job.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And Hannah's talked about this before, and so she'll be okay with telling this because she tells this testimony quite a bit. Ethan had to tell Hannah one time, you're not my Holy Spirit.
Oh, wow.
And she's shared that before, and
mm-hmm.
it's always stuck with me because
yeah, that's really good.
As pastors, we are quick to play
oh, yeah.
people's Holy Spirit.
Oh,
we
yeah.
got to be careful. And so I was like, Lord, what do I do? And he said, just let me do my job.
Mm-hmm.
And we just prayed for him, trusted the Lord, put it in his hand.
Yeah.
And now, like, for this person, I feel like at times I'm running to keep up.
Yeah.
Like,
that's
just
awesome.
What the Lord's done
yeah.
within that person. It's like, oh, I'm trying to keep up with them in their progression in the Spirit.
But jumping ahead would have been damage, could have been damage.
No, I think it would have been.
You know, would have been hurtful, reject, whatever, you know, and not done. Jeannie told a story a couple of weeks ago, too, about a couple that came to their church that there was sin. And they asked right up front, are you going to accept us in this sin? You know, and I'd rather not say details.
Sure.
And And Jeannie said, I'm not going to judge you, but you won't be able to stay in the presence of the Lord very long before he'll start convicting you of it. And they kept coming. And it wasn't long. They were on the altar repenting of their sin. Now, I don't know where what's happened since then, but I know she called me the day it happened. And she said, guess what? The Holy Spirit did it. Same thing you're talking about. They could have done damage. They would not have come to the church. They would have left. Now, there's wisdom in all this, too. Mm-hmm. You can't just allow anything in your service. But this was something that they felt, leave it alone for a week or two, and then we'll address it. But within no time, the Holy Spirit convicted, and he did it. So that's so good. You're not my Holy Spirit. I like that.
And in a situation like that, too, you can, just because, you know, I would say anybody's welcome to come. Mm-hmm. Anybody's welcome.
Right.
I mean, if you come into the sanctuary and somebody comes back and hounds you over something, like, you know, you can come talk to me. Like, right. And I'll be like, because I think that's, in a, I want people to come to hear the word of God. Even if they're not right, I want them to hear the word. I want them to be in the presence
of the Lord.
And I would say the difference maker in that is, like, just because they sit in a church doesn't mean we're calling them Christians.
Right.
You know,
right.
It's like, and I think that's where Philip Anthony Mitchell always says, what does he come and say? I forget. He has a slogan here I really like. I don't know if you know him or not, but he's really great. He's a tremendous preacher of the word of God. But he says something like, you can belong before you believe. And I just like that.
That's
like,
really
you
good.
Can come and fellowship. Like, now there's a different kind of fellowship. And, and like that couple that says, hey, we're in sin, you're going to accept us. Mm-hmm. Like, you're welcome.
Right.
And we're going to love you.
Right.
You're not going to be on stage. And you're not going to be on
leadership.
You're not going to be in leadership. And you're, and you know, when we take communion, I'm going to encourage you not to until you repent of this sin.
You really know. Yeah.
Like, there's those boundaries, but you can belong.
Right.
Absolutely.
Exactly.
We would love to do life. I mean, like, come on. We're going to pray with you. We're going to encourage you.
The scripture says the kindness of the Lord brings repentance, you know. So if we judge immediately and attack immediately, again, enabling, getting in God's way, let the Holy Spirit do the work. That's such a good word.
Yeah. And who knows? Like, I've seen people come in completely addicted and honestly intoxicated and leave sober and saved.
Yeah,
like,
that's right.
Who knows why they're there? And it's just, it's like that story I told a couple weeks ago, and it was that young lady who went to church, and basically the pastor said, don't come back unless you can wear something different. And she went once, and he kind of said, hey, that's kind of inappropriate. Like, you come back next week, can we dress a little better?
Yeah.
She wore the same thing next week. And it's not because she's trying to be hard-hearted. She didn't have anything. She had this rough life. That's the only clothes she had.
Yeah.
And so we told the story, and what I hope would have happened if that happened here is we would identify she had the same outfit on twice.
Right.
And say, hey, do you need clothes?
Yeah.
Like, but the pastor then on the third time she came in the same clothes yelled at her in the back, said, I told you to pray about before you come.
Yikes.
And you needed to dress better, and the deacons are mad, and everybody's yelling at her. And she's trying to get her life right.
Right.
And the pastor said, did you not pray about it? And she said, I prayed about it, but the Lord said, I don't know what to wear there. I've never been there. And so I was like, oh, Lord, help. And
that's like the one Jesus sitting on the steps, and they won't let the homeless man in. He goes, don't worry, they won't let me in either.
it hurt a little bit. And I think that's where we have to be careful of and try to clean them before he catches them. And let it be a place. And I'm not saying irreverence or like, like you even alluded to there, like if there's disruption or there's chaos or something, that has to be confronted.
Right.
But I do love how that one guy, you can belong before you believe.
That's a good word.
And and it's like, and I think we set the standard, like, hey, if we're writing, Heather's writing, and we're kind of working on a worship team covenant, and I know it's simple, but one of the things we put in there, this is a worship team to worship Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't have a active, real relationship with Jesus, you're not up here.
That's key. Yeah.
Like, you need to be burning for him, and you need to be able to live a life that's glorified. This is not a show. It's not a con. This is like, you need to live it. Like, and that's one of the things that's really clear in that covenant is like, there's an expectation for you to live this life of Christ exalting and in accordance with the word of God.
I heard somebody call it Christian karaoke. You know, sometimes that's be that. Christian karaoke is what it can be.
Yeah.
And we don't, it's the presence of the Lord. It's
absolutely.
It's a reverence, like you're saying. So that's really good.
Yeah. We kind of have this saying now, like, it's kind of developed with the team, like, if the first time you worship on Sunday is on the stage, don't come to the stage. Mm-hmm. Like, if you're not worshiping on Tuesday,
right.
you don't need to be on the stage on Sunday.
Right.
Like, it can't be. What happens on Sunday is a reflection of what happened on Tuesday and what's happening on Friday.
It's the celebration of the whole week, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, of what you've done or heard from the Lord on all week, you know. So anyway, we're going to wait on the Lord this morning.
Amen. That's good. That's a really good word.
Yeah.
And
well, it's because I'm trying to live it. That's what the Lord does to all of us. It's like, Lord, oh yeah, I have a word. You know, I have a word because I am trying to walk this out right now in a situation that I'm in. So, and it's been about 4 years now, and it's just been, and it's progressively gotten worse, and that's okay because I still know that it's going to turn around, and I know there's a testimony in it. I can't wait for the testimony that's going to come out of it. And that's the way I have to look at it, you know?
Yeah. And several times lately, and it's kind of along the same stream, but a little bit different. I have encountered conversations, and I'm talking several lately, mm-hmm. to where I believe them to be really solid, loving Christians. And the reason, so I've been here myself.
Right.
It's like, I prayed.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I've prayed.
Right.
And it's like, how long do I keep praying?
I know.
And I feel you because I've been there.
Yeah.
Like, I've been there. Like,
waiting quietly.
Yeah, I've been there. We're keeping. And I think the counsel I got just a couple of months ago on another situation is, and I'm going to say it like this to fit this. It's better to pray one day extra than to stop praying one day too early.
Yeah. A friend of mine told me that years ago. Don't know that I've always walked in it, but yes, I have heard. That's good. That's good.
It's
good reminder. Yeah.
Yeah. And I just, there was a preacher one time that he used to go visit this case, it was an addict. Mm-hmm. Every week he would go visit with him and pray. And he did it for like 20 years.
Mm.
And finally, this other leader in the church just said, when are you going to stop?
Oh, wow.
Like, you've been going here for 20 years
yeah.
and they are just hardened. They are not going to. And the preacher said, but what if I quit 1 week too early?
Mm, so good. Yeah.
And the story ends like the guy actually did get delivered. And the guy did get born again and get radically changed.
That's amazing.
But what if that pastor stopped going 1 week too early?
The one day. Yeah. Yeah.
And
in the waiting.
And
it is. And even the scripture says, you know, you shall run and not grow weary. Sometimes we do. There's what's the other scripture about? You were running well. Why did you stop?
What hindered you?
Yeah. What hindered you? Yeah.
Yeah.
And so there are times when it does. You do feel weary. We're human beings. God understands it. But he's like, you know, don't stop. Just keep pressing in. Just keep waiting on me. I'm going to do it. I've already mm-hmm. showed you. And then I have scripture after scripture after scripture that it's so important for me to read to keep my mind knowing, God, you said.
Absolutely.
God, you said, and I know I have a promise. I know I have a promise. And to speak that over my mind so that I can rest and say, God, your word says. Your word says. You know, our kids do that. You said, Daddy. You said, Mama. And, you know, and you're like, oh.
Yeah.
You know? And we have to remind God of what his word says. And that's why I can wait quietly mm-hmm. because I run to this and I run to God because you said this.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, and before we shift out of this thought, let's Miss Crystal, you want to lead a prayer for people in this situation?
Yes, I really do. Father, I thank you this morning, God. And Lord, I know what I have been walking through, God, and coming into this understanding of God, you know. You know everything. You know our thoughts. You know our ways. You knew them, as it says in Psalms 139, you knew us in our mother's womb, and you knew the days that were already set up, already ordained for us, God. And so this has not taken you by any surprise. You knew all this was going to take place in each person's life that is listening, God. Anyone that hears the sound of our voices this morning, God, you knew already their situation. And they would even turn the radio on and hear this morning, God, the word that is going forward to wait on the Lord. Just wait quietly for the deliverance of the Lord. That's in Lamentations 3, verse 22, if you haven't, if you didn't know. I mean, I think it's 25, but 22 through 26, where he says, wait quietly for the deliverance of the Lord, and just begin to dwell on that and stay in that, in his divine providence of who he is, knowing that he's going to take care of our situations, and that we won't be enablers, God. We will not be allow the enemy to use us in the spirit of control, God, or manipulation to get our way, God, to make things happen faster. God, we're going to rest. We're going to be waiting patiently on purpose, God, because we know that you can do it. I love what Hannah said. You are that God, you when we enable like that, we are trying to say, God, we are the Holy Spirit and we can do it. But we say, God, you be the Holy, you be God. Holy Spirit, do what only you can do, God. And we thank you for that this morning. God, I also want to pray for Jeannie and her husband, Jesus. God, in the situation they're walking through, God. And we thank you, Lord, that you be with them and give them a peace, give them understanding and wisdom, and also walk out in patience, God, and wait quietly for the deliverance of the Lord this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.
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 Amen. I shared the testimony, Hannah, again.
I figured.
Yeah, that just hit me. That's all, so awesome.
Yeah. It was very relevant to the conversation.
It was. Very good.
Two quick questions that I kind of get often, and I was going to take time to at least hit one of them or two of them if I can, because these are quick questions, so probably get them done pretty quick. Can I take communion at home without, like, the church body with me? And I want to say absolutely. Yes.
It's a yes for me.
Yes, and do it. I don't think there's anything wrong with it if you just want to take it daily. Like, that's just right. To have a point of time each day where you just take communion and remember the Lord and the sacrifice, and it settles your heart. It refocuses you. And it's Perry Stone calls it the meal that heals.
That's good.
Yeah. And I think it heals you in a lot of different ways. And it does. It centers you. It focuses you with Christ. It reminds you, like, hey, he's broken for me so I can be. Mm-hmm. And it's just the gospel. Almost you're preaching the gospel to yourself every single day and reminding yourself of the goodness of God. So absolutely. And I think religion wants to steal it from you and make it very orthodoxy.
Yeah, you got to be at church, or the priest has to do it, or the preacher's got to do it. No.
But you can grab some grape juice and a cracker and take it in your home.
That's right.
Absolutely.
That's right.
Or take it with family, you know, with other believers.
Right. Yeah. The whole household.
We did that. We had some people over at the house the other day, and there's several families that had a lot of kids. Now, that brings up another good question. Like, I think you should be very serious about communion.
Yeah.
And I think if you're in known sin, then you should either repent before you take it.
Yeah.
Paul Corinthians is very clear about that. Now, when it comes to small children, myself, I go ahead and let my young kids until they get to that certain, like Jackson, who's 13, Irish, who's 14, they're going to have this more of a knowledge. Right. Like, am I ready? Mm-hmm. So I think as a parent, you're going to have to make that responsibility, whether you have to make that decision whether to let your kid take it or not, partake. But we had a lot of kids, and we almost everybody in the house took it last time we was together. And it was a very solemn moment. Mm-hmm. Like, it was just,
awesome.
We just turned on some worship music in the background, and there was probably about 35 or 40 of us over at the house, and we just took communion.
That's good.
Like, we just took it, and it became very much a holy moment.
We have to be training our children, and even though it may not be a great spiritual moment for them at that moment, it's a training, it's a process they're going to understand that, hey, this is, because I can remember I wasn't raised in the full gospel, and I was raised in a different religion, and you did it every service, and I wasn't quite sure why I was eating Jesus. That's all I understood, you know, but I knew about
Seems
it.
Seems a little
weird. Yeah, and so when I came into the revelation, it made sense because I had done it all my life.
Yeah.
So it was nothing foreign to me. So I don't think there's anything wrong with training the children, and of course explaining it with, you know, at the appropriate age, but again, you know, training them up. You're equipping them.
Ezra eats Jesus a different way. He actually eats his Bible.
That's okay.
Eating the Word.
He's doing more than most.
I don't ever really get worked up with kids doing it. Some people do. Like, some people's very. I don't think so. I think there's a lot of innocence in it. And I think that, you know, we are training and equipping them and getting it in them. And I think what the Corinthians were doing, they were well-known sin, yeah. and they were just, they were making a mockery yeah. of it and right. perverting the Lord's Supper.
Right.
But I do think it, I would encourage you greatly to take communion more often.
Yes.
And it don't save you, but it, boy, does it bring mm-hmm. a great remembrance and settles you, and right. and it does heal you in a lot of different ways, I think.
Right.
And so the second one, I don't know if we'll have time for, so it may start today and finish tomorrow. Because it's a bigger question. How can, I'm going to word this in a way, like, I feel like it's a general question they wanted, but how can I improve communication? And in my marriage, in my relationships, in my friendships, I have one principle I think helps initially. Listen more than you talk.
Mm-hmm.
And I try to live by that. Mm-hmm. I'm not good at it. I mean, yeah. like, we were just talking about, like, waiting silently on the Lord. Yeah. It's, I have to intentionally.
Yeah, I do too.
Stay quiet.
I'm already thinking about what I'm going to say before. I'm way over here before. And I don't hear names sometimes that way too. Yeah. I'm just being honest. I just, and I'm like, hey, how are you? And I'm thinking, who is this person? Who's the next, you know? And I'm like, and I don't it. Hear it. So I try. I don't know. I'm not real good at it sometimes, but I try to on purpose say, really hear what they say.
Yeah.
Emily, whatever. Emily, and let it stick, you know, especially when you're meeting a lot of new people or whatever, you know, and it's yeah. like, and if I, on purpose, then most of the time I can remember the next time I see him. But a lot of times I'm talking, hey, how are you doing? Da, da, da. And I never hear anything they say, yeah. you know?
Yeah. I've tried to learn that in like evangelism. Mm-hmm. And even whenever I really love talking to waitresses and servers and just asking, what can we pray for you for? But I always like, I try to get their name.
Right.
And so I'm like, hey, Hannah, mm-hmm. you know, what can we pray for you about? And yeah. like, I'll even intentionally say their name yes. several times just because I want them to know
yeah.
you're valuable to me.
Yeah.
Like, you're valuable enough, I'm going to learn your name.
Right.
But I know too, like, sometimes if I'm always the one talking, then I'm the one I love to hear.
Right.
And it makes them feel like,
right.
is this guy ever going to shut up? And so now on the radio, it's a little different because you got to keep the conversation going. But
well, have you ever had somebody go, hey, you, hey, it's yeah. kind of like, you know, it's like.
It almost a superior you, complex, yeah, like, right. I don't need to know your name.
Right, exactly, yeah.
So. Absolutely.
But there should always, I've always heard too, in communication, there's always two sides, but in the middle should be understanding.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you can figure out, you know, make sure there's an understanding when you're talking. You know.
That's good.
Yeah. So.
Yeah,
I don't always do it. I'm just being honest. I try my best, you know. But like I said, when we are the stronghold that I have been delivered from of anxiety, anxiety will put you way over there before you're yeah, there, well, you know. So
yeah,
get
and it puts you on the mine. Like, I think a lot of people when I was younger, they interpreted it as pride and arrogance,
mm-hmm.
but what it was anxiousness and insecurity.
Right.
And I was trying to be very aggressive to protect right. myself.
Yes.
Because in my aggressive, I almost pushed you off.
Right.
And so the reason that I like to walk hallways by myself was not that I thought I was better than everybody else. Yeah. It was actually I thought I was worse than everybody else, but I didn't want anybody to know that.
Right.
So I would kind of get my chest puffed out a little mm-hmm. bit just to try to ease yeah. this insecurity and mm-hmm. quiet the anxiousness.
Yeah.
And so, and I think that hurt my communication, though, yeah. because I wasn't being open and real and understanding and try to get to know people, because honestly, I didn't want to.
Right.
I was scared of them. Mm-hmm. And that's why relationships didn't work. That's why I didn't have a lot of friends, is because I think inherently whether I felt inadequate and inferior, but also felt like I didn't want people to hurt me.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I didn't like stuff like.
I think inferior is a good word, too. I mean, you know, we get intimidated so easy sometimes. We have the Word of God within us, but someone seems to know it so much better than us,
oh, yeah.
you know.
Mm-hmm.
But the Word is the Word. I heard I put it on my Facebook. I know you're not on Facebook, Pastor Aaron, but and you might have seen it before. And I just started crying, and I've been very emotional lately. I don't know. The Lord's doing a work in me, but it was very simple. All it was, and I'm talking about inferiority of not knowing enough. He said, this gentleman says, hey, when I get to heaven, I want to talk to the guy, the thief on the cross. I want to talk to him, because he said, I can just imagine he gets to heaven and the angel says, why are you here? And he says, I don't really know. I have no idea why I'm here. And he said, well, you have to know why you're here. You can't get in. And he says, Do you know about the doctrine of justification? And he's like, never heard of it, you know. And he says, well, let me get my supervisor. So the chief angel comes over and he says, you know, okay, we got a couple questions for you. And he asks again, do you know about divine? No, I don't know anything about this. And he says, what about the doctrine of scriptures? And he says, all I know is I was talking to the man on the middle cross, and he said, I can come.
Mm-hmm.
And when he said that, I don't know what it was. I just began to weep because that's all. And he said, and that's all we need is what the man says, is that the man in the middle said we can come. And if we can share that with neighbors and coworkers and not beat them down like we've been talking about all morning, as far as like criticizing and judging people, and but just saying, God, you know, and waiting on those divine appointments, but just saying there's a man on the middle cross,
mm-hmm.
and he says you can come into my kingdom. And man, mm-hmm. like I said, I weeped over that, and I thought, and it's so simple, but for me it just, I thank God that he said I can come.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So. That's so good. I like that. I like that a lot.
It's, I'll send you the videos.
Yeah.
Somebody put on my Facebook, you should listen to the whole YouTube video, because that was just a little reel. So I haven't listened to it yet, but they say it's really good. So
that's good.
Yeah. Well, that's a good point, even with the communication. The question, I can tie it back in with this. Say what you mean when you're trying to communicate. Don't beat around the bush. Don't, like, if you say what you mean and mean what you say, then a lot more is going to get accomplished in a conversation.
Right.
Rather than trying to think while you're talking, mm-hmm. and think about all these things,
yes.
like be present,
mm-hmm.
listen, like Pastor Aaron was talking about, but say what you mean,
mm-hmm.
and mean what you say. Don't try to accomplish all these other things while you're talking. Just be direct, but also, I believe patience is important too. And also, when you all were talking earlier, like, it's so easy to react out of emotion, but I think what the Holy Spirit will help us do is not speak. I mean, it tells us be slow to speak. Mm-hmm. I think part of that is don't react. Mm-hmm. Don't try to communicate while you're at 100 and you're angry and stressed out. And if you need to take a minute, just breathe.
Right.
Before you start trying to communicate.
Breathe in.
Because it'll help
breathe.
You. Because, I mean, half the time, if you're so upset, or you're not going to end up saying your words correctly most of the time.
Right.
You're not going to end up saying what you're even trying to say whenever your emotions are so riled up.
Mm-hmm.
But whenever you can, I mean, as teenagers, we learn this because we just explode as a teenager.
and as an adult.
And as an adult.
I was like, not much has changed sometimes.
No, yeah. That's true. I just remember being a teenager and like, man, it was like, though, it's like intense. Like,
mm-hmm.
your emotions are just always up. But, and our emotions are going to be up and down. But I think if we can learn how to not be led by them in our communication, it's a big one.
That's good.
And
very
I think
good.
That comes back to, we do listen twice as much as we should talk. And mean what we say, but I think it's like, how do I want to word this here? Hannah told me not to think while I talk, but I'm going to have to. No.
Slow to speak.
I don't know. I don't even know how to spit this out, really, in that regard of, I guess, loving people well in the conversation, but pay attention to how you're saying it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like,
the
when
tone.
when you say, like, when you mean what you say, don't be sharp.
Mm-hmm.
Be gentle. Like, the word of God is sharp, and it asunders. Like, but when you're just having these conversations with people, like, and you're meaning what you say, do it with a gentleness and a kindness. That's the fruit
mm-hmm.
of the Spirit. And I think for me, that's what I'm trying to learn.
Right.
Because guys ain't very gentle.
Yeah.
And we tend not to be kind.
Yeah.
And we almost let ourselves off the hook.
Right.
Like, and,
mm-hmm.
You know, it's just, I guess I love kids. Like, I'm a Megan Fortner's son says he's like the coolest kids pastor ever. That's what he always tell. He left here and he said, that was the coolest kids pastor I ever met, Mom. and like, even little, you know, like, Luke got to hang out with little Nova most of the day Sunday, just hanging out with her, Heather, and Ivy in the pool. And I think learning to talk to a little kid and be gentle and kind, but also like actually getting the point across, would actually help us talking to adults more than we realized.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Like, don't come in there as the, even Miss Crystal was talking about, like, the superior.
Mm-hmm.
Come in there as an equal. Wherever conversation, and that's like in any conversation we have, whether with our spouse,
mm-hmm.
whether it's with our friends, even if it's with the addict we're talking to, or the marriage that's just falling apart, or the person that just filed bankruptcy, like, don't put yourself as the superior. Put the rock down and get in their dirt.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what Jesus showed us multiple times.
Yes.
How to talk to them and not talk at them.
And it goes back to that old thing. You can say the right thing the wrong way.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, and if it's not done in the right attitude, it's not going to go very far, you know. Mm-hmm. But when you say it, again, like with kindness and love and intentional, and work on it, you know. And I'm not always great at it either, but if we keep striving to, and it all kind of comes all around back to that same point of waiting quietly. Sometimes, like you said, just waiting to hear what are they really trying to hear, what they're saying. What are they really, where's the heart? Where's this coming from,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes it'll go a lot easier. And even in marriage, and Todd and I had to, did not communicate well at first. And Todd will be the first to admit he's kind of hard sometimes to understand what he's really trying to say. But I've really learned to say, slow down. What are you, go back. What are you trying to, where's it at, you know? And he'll go, oh, well, and he does the same thing with me, you know, because I'll talk too fast sometimes, you know. So it's this thing of making sure there's understanding in the middle.
Yeah. Yeah. That's we're good. About out of time. We're going to have to finish more conversation tomorrow because there's a lot to unpack here. But I do love one thing. I was actually going to say that last thing before we left. Don't be afraid to ask questions in the midst of the conversation. Like,
yes.
If you're in the middle and you're just not figuring something, like, hey, hold on a second. What did you mean by that? Because I don't want to misinterpret you, and I don't want to sit. Because how many times we left conversations thinking people said stuff they never said? So,
say it again.
Yes, we're out of time. We love you all. Miss Crystal, thank you. Miss Hannah, thank you. We'll be back tomorrow, 7 a.m. Central Time. Come see us tonight at the fair if you're there. And come out to the volleyball game 5 o'clock, 5:30 this evening. We'll love y'all.